Last Tuesday of the month means it's time to talk style and design with Bianca Reznikov. Always lovely to have you with us, Bianca. And you're actually standing in for me on Friday,
yes,
I believe.
I am, indeed.
But in advance, we focused on style. Thanks so much for being here.
First things first.
Okay. And okay. It's all about the handbag today.
Yeah, we're talking about handbags, but more really about the craft of handbag making. And we have a special guest in with us. And also what the business is like, really, handmade handbags in Cape Town and South Africa, really, at large. But first, a little bit of news. Tomorrow night, the V&A is continuing with its museum night concept, which was very popular last year in June. They did a pilot. It's happening tomorrow night. All the museums at the waterfront will be open, and they're offering free admission, and along with half price admission to the aquarium and the big wheel and other attractions.
Okay, so we know my fear of heights. I'll skip the big wheel. Thank you very much. But we've just been chatting to the aquarium about the new Predator exhibit being open again. So good excuse to go there. Museum, I hear people going, what museums at the waterfront? Won't you just remind them what's worth visiting?
Well, I did think the same, you know, but it's the Cape Medical Museum, the Battery Museum, the Springbok Rugby Museum, and the Zeitz Smoke is not open yet. It's only opening in September, but tickets for membership will be on sale tomorrow
night.
And there also will be a printed out program, which will show you where to walk around. So you don't have to book. You can go onto their Facebook page. It is being arranged by the First Thursdays people in collaboration with the V&A. So it's set to be very cool. And there will be interesting theatrical pop-up events going on throughout the night. The Cape Philharmonic Youth Orchestra is playing. There's a couple of hip musicians and DJs. So I think it'll be worth going to. And it's happening between 5 and 10. And all you have to do is arrive.
That's tomorrow night at the V&A Waterfront. Okay, thanks. Good to have an excuse to get out on a weeknight.
Definitely.
Thanks for the news update. Now, we're talking handbags and we're talking the craft and the business of bags. But I am interested to hear our listeners' views on how many is too many, Bianca. Am I allowed to ask you how many handbags you own?
You can ask.
But you'll never tell.
I actually don't know. I'm embarrassed to say. But a lot of my handbags have been collected over the years from my late grandmother. Mm-hmm. I really like vintage bags. So I'm actually not a big designer handbag shopper, but I like to collect them like pieces.
Because I am, sadly, and I know this is a fashion faux pas, but I'm basically a two-bag woman because there's a black one and there's a sort of a beigey brownie one. And depending on what I'm wearing, either one of those two goes with me for the simple reason that they're big enough to hold all my stuff.
Yes.
I have over the years acquired a couple of nice clutches for evening use, etc., but they drive me insane because I can't fit anything beyond my car keys and a packet of tissues. And I need other things. I need my business cards. I need my cell phone.
Absolutely.
I need my endless stash of pens which fall to the bottom of my bag. So it's something I struggle with personally. I'm looking forward to hearing some insights into the industry and perhaps some tips on handbag style and do's and don'ts. Mm. I'm particularly interested to hear from our listeners, though. Do you have that one bag that you use all the time and that you use until it's falling to pieces and then replace? Or are you someone who makes it a style point in putting your look together? Are you a man who uses a man bag? Interested to hear from any of the men listening today. Your thoughts and comments to 021-446-0567. You're welcome to leave a voice note on 072-567-1567 as well. Over to you to introduce our guest, Bianca.
I mean, also just on that point that you say, you always like a big bag. These days, a casual bag is acceptable at night, really. You don't have to have a precious bag, you know. And I also think that comfort is a big factor. The fact that it slings across your body, you know, does it irritate your shoulder? Does it affect your posture? Do you like a rucksack? I think there are lots of different elements that come into play. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce the managing director and master craftsman, Robert Schaefer of Cape Cobra Leathercraft. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the show. Just bring the mic a little bit closer in there.
Hello. Hi.
There you go. Tell us a bit about your business and what you make.
Well, our company was founded in 1972. I joined in 1977 after matriculating. I went to Germany, did my apprenticeship in the craft of making handbags and the two design courses, and came back 2.5 years later and was integrated into the factory. We manufacture, obviously there's been a whole transition from then to now. I mean, the whole world has changed. The way of doing business then, the way of doing business now. It's been a long journey, but we finally ended up specializing in exotic leather, or using exotic leather to make handbags, specifically ostrich, now it's crocodile, a bit of python. But honestly, I like working with South African leather, because that's what where we are and that's what we're supposed to be. And that's what I promote.
And are all your bags handmade?
All the bags are handmade. Obviously, we have machinery that we use in the various processes. Some of the machinery is pretty sophisticated, but at the end of it, it's the hands that make the bag.
Tell us a bit about the hands that do make the bags.
Yeah. Well, it starts, obviously you have to have a concept. Starts with a sketch, or it starts with a drawing or a picture, and then that sketch gets translated into a pattern, and then from the pattern you see that everything fits, you do your first mock-up, and if you're happy with the mock-up, you get to cut the first leather bag, and then you make your first of the actual piece.
And how long does this process take?
Well, if it's a simple bag, a clutch bag can take 3-4 hours. If it's a complicated multi-gusseted bag, it can take 3-4 days.
Mm. So that means that these bags must be very expensive because of the time consumed and the exotic leathers. Is there still a demand for these kind of bags locally, or is this something that you only export?
Well, ultimately, the export market is very important for our product or for our company. We find a following with the tourists that are coming to South Africa. We at one stage it was the Germans, then it was the Americans, now it's the Americans, now it's the Middle Eastern visitors that we get to come to Cape Town. Ultimately, I would say 95% of our product ends up in foreigners' hands.
Right. Can you name drop a little bit for us and tell us the big designers you do make bags for?
Well, I think our first big client was Calvin Klein.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
They have their design studio in Milan. And when I arrived there with my crocodile skins and I was going to pinch the business from the Italians, I wasn't exactly the favorite guy on the block. But it was a successful intervention and collaboration. And from Calvin Klein, it went over to Lambertson Truex, to Michael Kors, Mark Hazer, Tiffany, Donna Karan.
It's unbelievable. So it had a knock-on effect once...
Yes, eventually they pass you around. The designers get poached, headhunted, and eventually get passed around. But then with exotics, you know, it's a different business in the sense that one year it's ostrich, the other year it's croc, the next year it's python, and then they do they don't do croc at all for 2 or 3 years,
right.
And then it's a combination of ostrich with leather. So they mix and match depending on how the market is and the demand.
And the trends,
I was going to ask, I mean, which comes first, chicken or egg scenario, but do you supply what the market asks for, or do you set the trend by supplying something different, which then gets picked up by the international market?
Well, you know, a lot of the designers that we've worked with have spent a lot of time in our showroom taking ideas of ours and then amending them slightly and then making it theirs. At the end of the day, you know, these big designers, they've got distribution. Cape Town's quite far away from where it's actually happening. Mostly, we work according to their specs, to their sketches.
Mm-hmm.
And for our own brand, we develop our own designs. Right now, the trend is crossbody.
Yes.
Small bags. The world's a little bit of in a funny spot right now. Still trying to find itself. Online sales have become very dominant, and have changed the way that retail is being done. So we have to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Are men wearing bags? A briefcase is one of your big sellers, isn't it?
Well, we used to make many briefcases. But briefcase is a little bit dated. I like a briefcase because it keeps everything nice and straight.
Mm.
But it's more the softer, casual design, hands-free.
Yes.
You sling it over your shoulder.
So you can hold your device.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
I'd like to know a little bit about the handbag business in South Africa and where it is right now from when you first started. I mean, with the arrival of the Chinese replica and how that really wiped out most of the handbag and shoe industry, for that matter, in South Africa and Cape Town in particular. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, it was quite tragic. At one stage, the industry employed about 35,000 people, and we're now down to 2,000 people,
wow,
to just a little bit less than 2,000 people. Problem, of course, is also if you try to compete with the Chinese or the Indians, etc., it's very difficult. You bring the material in from there, and then you're trying to compete with them. It's nonsensical, really. That's why also we specialized with working with South African leathers. This is where the material comes from.
Yes.
Why shouldn't the product come from that? Now, we have a little bit of an advantage at Cape Cobra, or should I say a big advantage, in that we are expert craftsmen. Everybody's been trained on the job, and we produce a product that is comparable to any one of the best brands in the world.
Mm.
So what we bring to the market is
quality.
Quality, it's world quality, yes.
Tell us, are you supplying any local designers? And if so, when did that start?
Yes, I think that's how can I say, a little pet hobby of mine is trying to build South African brands, because I can't be everywhere, or we can't be everywhere. So we've got, for instance, we produce for Okapi.
Mm-hmm.
We produce for Kat van Donen.
Mm.
We produce for Vaneshri Singh.
Kat van Donen, she recently opened a store in the Silo District, and I saw a lot of your bags are in the window.
Well, they're her bags. They're her designs.
Her bags, but made by you.
Made by you for her design.
Yes. Yes, made by South African artisans.
Fantastic. Mm. I'm glad to say we've got a man who's joined the conversation on the SMS line. Andre is saying, as a guy, I would appreciate a practical-sized hand or shoulder bag which looks manly. Something Tomb Raider style is his description. Do you make bags? Okay, you mentioned that the briefcase is not so much the popular thing anymore. You've said you make more of the casual style. Is there a demand from men for a variety of brands? Are men starting to get more particular about the style of bag that they will carry, as women have been for many, many decades?
Yeah, I think definitely. With laptops and the iPads, etc., there's automatically a need for you to put this item in and to protect it. So there is definitely a demand. We have a 4-man product development team that makes samples and new products every day.
Amazing. And I suppose these days, with unisex being such a huge, huge trend, it doesn't really have to be specifically designed for a man, because men and women have similar jobs and similar needs.
Exactly. Devices traveling
exactly,
with them
yes.
as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
I want to just touch on the skins issue. It can be controversial. Can you enlighten us on the skin sourcing process and why it's so important that it's ethical and it's a very specialized part of the business? The skins.
Yeah, the exotic business, or the exotic skin business, is an international business. And there is a lot of sensitivity around skins.
Mm.
In South Africa, we have our Braai Sunday. Nobody ever asks where do the chops come from. But when you have a beautiful bag, then somehow there's a connection, beauty for cruelty or
sure.
Yeah, so our suppliers are world players. They supply the Gucci's, the Hermes, the Prada's, the Chanel's of this world, and these brands need to protect their image. So we are very specific, although I don't even think that there's any supplier in South Africa that doesn't follow best practices. The meat is a byproduct, and it's for human consumption.
So it's not slaughtered entirely just for the skin.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's what makes it ethically sourced.
Then we work hand in hand with the National SPCA, and there is a charter in place in the crocodile industry. There's a charter in place in the ostrich industry, and one has to keep watching that things are done in the right way.
When you're looking at other bags, when you're outsourcing and looking for new designs, what is the one thing that stands out to you if you look at a bag and you think, oh, they really went wrong there, I shouldn't see the stitching or mm-hmm. the lining is poorly. What makes a bag a good bag, in your opinion?
Well, it's a number of factors. Obviously, the design is imperative because that's your first point of contact is what you see. Then the workmanship, the comfort of it, the stitching, the when you open it up, the inside organization, where you're going to put your cell phone, where you're going to put your sunglasses, how you're going to protect your cell phone in the bag, where you're going to put your pens, and et cetera, depending what type of bag it is. So I find it most enjoyable when I go and see. Do some window shopping in New York, and then I see bags that are badly made, but carry one of the better brand names, you know? And I think, well, we can do this better than this.
Is there a little label if I go and look in a Michael Kors shop, if I'm window shopping because I can't afford a bag at that price, will there be a little label inside saying made in South Africa?
Yes, always.
Oh, nice.
That is law.
Oh, that's yeah. Okay.
Where will we find it? Is it tucked somewhere secret?
Not really. They used to make us put the labels in.
Yes.
In days gone by, that they could pull them out because they didn't want anybody to know that it came from South Africa. But right now, you know, our image has changed internationally, yes. And it's quite accepted.
A question coming in on the WhatsApp line, just taking us back to the issue of the skins, asking, isn't python endangered? How would you source that ethically? It's not. I've done a quick Google. Certainly the African rock python is not on the list of creatures at risk of extinction. It's listed on Appendix 2, which is the kind of in-between list. How commonly is it used?
Yeah, look, we don't work with African python.
Okay.
We work with Burmese python. Which comes from Thailand mainly. I visited a farm there, and the farm next to the farm there's the tannery, so it's not coming from the wildlife stock.
Okay, so it's from actual farmed pythons. That's interesting. Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
What about the hardware and the handles and the little clasps and things? Well, are those locally sourced or not?
Many years ago, when we started exporting, it became apparent that we would need to do something about making our own hardware. So we bought a factory in Germany. We put it into 260-foot containers, and we brought it to Cape Town.
Gosh.
And right now we make our own buckles, we make our own locks, we make our own handle holders. We have a gold plating, nickel plating, black nickel plating facility. So all the gold matches, the gold of the lock, the gold of the handle holder, it's all 24 karat. So hardware is a very, very, making good hardware to go with expensive leather is a very, very important function.
We've got a caller on the line, if I may. Inga in Rondebosch has a question, I think, about breathing new life into old bags. Inga, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I can't talk very much. I'm not well. But I've got two old crocodile handbags from my grandmother. They are beautiful, but they are very, very old-fashioned. Do you reinvent them, or who can do it for me?
Inga, I hope you feel better soon. That's an interesting question. Is it possible to repurpose a bag? I guess the question is, can you use those existing materials and create something new and fresh out of them?
Yeah, yes, we've done that on a number of occasions. Mm-hmm. Obviously, one has to take a better look at the bag and see what material is it, how worn is it. I definitely would have to take a look at that specific bag.
So you can revamp old vintage crocodile bag, is that what you said?
Yes. If Inga would like to get in touch with you, how would she do that, Robert?
Okay, my cell number is 082-900-4168.
Okay, Inga, and if you didn't manage to jot that down, just send me an email to pepperh@capetalk.co.za. I've taken a note of it and I'll gladly pass it along. Another question coming on the email from Brian. It's a two-part question. The first bit is, does anybody know why Americans refer to handbags as pocketbooks?
I have no idea. Americans have a different language, really.
They really do. I know, because I grew up speaking it for a time. Brian, okay, if anybody knows the origin of that particular one, please let us know. But the second question from Brian is why the real designer bags from the likes of Gucci and Louis Vuitton, etc., are so very expensive given what they're actually made of. His comment is that the workmanship and the materials bear no resemblance to the price. You're paying for the brand name, aren't you?
Well, you're paying for advertising, you're paying for the brand name. You are also paying for a well-made product. In most cases, the better brands really have excellent workmanship. You're paying for the designers, you're paying for the establishment, for the rental space, for the everything that goes around it. Or around with the product.
I mean, a bag for a long time has often been a status symbol. You often see celebrities and models will walk out with an Hermes bag and then everybody wants one, you know? So it kind of sunglasses and handbags represent the brand in so many ways.
It's been a fascinating conversation, Robert. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
Bianca, lovely to have you with us as always.
Thanks, Pippa. Nice to see you again.
Okay. Thank you.